then we're ready for to share God's word. Heavenly Father, again, it's a privilege and a joy to share your word today. In the next few minutes, we ask your blessing upon the offering as well and upon this lesson, this precious word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I said, I would give it a title, It's Finished. The last thing that Jesus said on the cross was it was finished. What was finished? What was he referring to when he said it's finished? Could be his suffering was finally over. The pain and agony he endured, the whippings he got, the scourging. It was the custom in those days that they would be scourged, and he received 39 scourgings. It's believed there's 39 diseases, so he received one whiplash for every disease. So he said it was finished. Or perhaps what Jesus came to this earth to do was finished. It was finished. I remember that his first miracle at the marriage of Cana of Galilee, he made a reference as they had ran out of wine, and you know the story, they ran out of wine. And so Jesus' mother said to him, "You can make wine. Do as he says. Do whatever he commands you to do." And Jesus said, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? For my hour is not yet come." He wasn't being disrespectful to his mother. He's just reminding her, as I'm sure that he did, and she knew, that his hour was not yet come. Now, the hour he was referring to was a time of miracles. His 3 years of miracles, teaching, and all that was inclusive in that hour he was referring to. My hour has not yet come. But nevertheless, the mother, you know, as insistent she was, she probably just said, "Just do what he says. Just do whatever he tells you to do. Just do it." Of course, they did that. Of course, the water turned to wine, so it was his first miracle that was performed at that time. Today is Easter. It's a celebration of, I believe, the greatest message that could ever be delivered. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. What had appeared to be a defeat turned out to be an accomplishment of an amazing mission by our Lord and Savior, who overcame death and lives forevermore. So what was Jesus' mission? The Son of God left heaven to come down to earth to accomplish all that the Father had given to him to do. And here's the list. He came to reveal the Father. In the Old Testament, we have glimpses of the Heavenly Father. But when Jesus appeared in human flesh, mankind was now given a much greater degree of revelation. Jesus made some startling claims about his relationship to the Father. "If you knew me, you would know my Father also." John chapter 8 and 19. "I and the Father are one." John 10:30. "I am in the Father, and the Father is in me." John 14 and 11. He came to redeem fallen mankind. Humanity is sinful. We need a Savior. Otherwise, we would die in our sins and face condemnation. As Paul said, if he did not rise, we would still yet be in our sins. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Luke 19 and 10. He came to revive or restore the hope of those who were looking for the Messiah. Hundreds of years had passed since the prophet Isaiah had prophesied of the coming Messiah in Isaiah chapter 9 and 6. When John the Baptist introduced Jesus as that long-awaited Messiah, Andrew believed and told his brother Peter, "We have found the Messiah." John chapter 1 and verse 41. And their hope was restored. He came to offer his life as a sacrifice on the cross for our sins. When he was before Pilate, He reminded Pilate. He said, "For this purpose, for this reason, came I into the world." He was referring to his crucifixion. "For this reason, for this purpose, came I into the world, to offer his life as a sacrifice. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed." 1 Peter 2:24. Jesus' death provided the redemption that accomplished salvation for you and me. He came to introduce us to the power of the Holy Spirit. There are many references to God's Spirit in the Old Testament, but Jesus unveiled much more about the Holy Spirit to his disciples. "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you." John 14:16-17. You see, the presence of the Holy Spirit within us, it differentiates between those who are saved and unsaved. As believers, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, who teaches and guides and empowers us to live a godly life. He came to show us how to love and forgive one another. He taught these lessons in the Sermon on the Mount. Some of his greatest instruction was accomplished on the cross. But he loved us, and he willingly laid down his life for us. In the same way was that perfect example of forgiveness when he forgave those who crucified him. And so when we consider how great his forgiveness is toward us, we have no right to hold anything against someone else. He came to leave us truths and teachings to transform our lives and to prepare us to meet him in the future. Although we haven't seen him physically, one day we will see him in all of his glory. And you will also behold the scars in his hands, for he still has those. He has those scars. Remember, after the resurrection, he appeared to those and said, "Behold." Remember, Thomas wasn't there on the occasion that he came to the room. He went through the wall. Thomas wasn't there. So Jesus came back for Thomas, and he said, "Thomas, behold my hands." Thomas said, "Unless I see it for myself, I won't believe it." Jesus said, "Thomas, behold my hands, and take your hand and see my side that was pierced by the soldier with the spear. Behold my side." Now, he could have went further. He could have said, "Look, behold my feet." He could have went further. He could have showed his back and said, "Behold the scars from the scourgings, the 39 whippings that I took for you," because he has those scars too. He has them all. Revelation said he was that there was a John saw a picture of Jesus and saw Jesus. He said he was like a lamb to the slaughter. That was John's remark about Jesus, as a lamb to the slaughter. So that tells me that John saw all the scars on Jesus. He still has those to remind us, I suppose, of the cost of sin. Jesus' mission was to prepare us to live holy lives in a sinful, unforgiving world. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." John 14:27. He came to teach us how to pray. Prayer was essential in the part and life of Jesus. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. He left the house and went out to a secluded place and was praying there, Mark 1:35. His time of ministry was only 3 short years, but he always took time to pray and receive the Father's guidance. Having observed how Jesus prayed, his disciples asked him to teach them to pray as well. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, everybody thinks that we need to memorize that prayer and do it all the time, but I can tell you that what that prayer is an example prayer. You don't necessarily have to quote that, although oftentimes we do. It is a sample prayer. So think of that sample prayer when you read it, and you'll understand how you should pray. That sample prayer doesn't start out, "Lord, give me, give me." That isn't how it starts. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." You want to learn how to pray? Forget the gimme, gimme stuff. First of all, you need to recognize who he is. He's my heavenly Father. I adore you. I love you. You're my heavenly Father. Adore him. Start your prayer by adoring him, giving glory to him. And when you do that, then you can say, "Give me this day my daily bread." This day, my daily bread. Disciples wanted to know how to pray, because they saw him pray often. Lord, teach us how to pray. We should always set aside time to give God our full attention as we bring our concerns to him. Without prayer, we have no power to live as he desires us to. He came to give us assurance of life after death. I spoke about this last Sunday. You can know that you're saved. You can know that when you draw your last breath, you'll go to heaven. You can know that. I told you as I was being raised that I had doubted my salvation so many times. I always thought that when I sinned, did something that God didn't like, I had to run to the altar and get my salvation back. That's bad, bad doctrine. That's bad. Paul said, "I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded he's able to keep that which I committed to him." Okay, it's that simple. Commit your life to him. Give your all to him. And I'll tell you, he'll take care of the rest. He'll take care of the rest. "Pastor, will I still sin after I've asked Jesus to forgive me?" Yeah, you will. You sure will. You may not intentionally want to, but you will. But that doesn't mean you lose your salvation. That just means, "Lord, forgive me. Forgive me." "But, Pastor, if I forget to ask him to forgive me..." When you accepted Christ as your Savior for our salvation, he forgives you of your past, your present, and future. You got to get that in up here. Get that in. Get it in there. Because we don't seem to have a problem with the forgiving of the past. We just have trouble with the future. Well, he knows the future. He knows what you're going to do. He knows you're going to mess up. He knows you're going to make some stupid wrong choices again. He knows that. But he still loves you. Your kids can't do anything to make you hate them. You always love your kids, and he always loves us. Always. No matter what you do, he loves you. You can't make a mistake that he can't fix. Do you hear me? You can't make a mistake he can't fix. He can fix anything. That's all I always thought when I was growing up, when I was a kid. I had toys, and I'd say, "Daddy, fix. Daddy, fix." That's what you need to do when you need Daddy to fix something. "Daddy, fix. Daddy, fix." And he can, and he will. You need to have the assurance of life after death. After Lazarus died, Jesus assured Mary and Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life." You know, if you remember the story, Martha chided Jesus for not being there. She chided him. She said, "Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died." But now you know the story. When Jesus got the news that Lazarus fell asleep, and he told the disciples, "We're just going to wait a while. We're not going to leave right away." The disciples said, "Well, if he fell asleep, that's good, Lord. It's good to sleep. Ain't nothing wrong with sleeping." Jesus looked at the disciples and said, he died. He's dead. Oh. And I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there. I'm glad for your sakes I wasn't there. Because what I'm about to do when I get there, you need to see. You need to see it. That's the story. That's what the story said. We have the same promise that death will not end our existence, nor that of our loved ones. Jesus provided eternal life for us with his death and his resurrection. He came to assure us that heaven is our home. Another wonderful promise. He came to assure us that heaven is our home. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. John 14:1-2. He came to prepare us to live in a way that influences others. Now there's a good question. Wayne asked a question, how has the resurrection changed your life? Are you sharing your testimony, your life's experience with somebody else? Why would I want to do that? Because you need to help get some of these other people saved. They need to hear about Jesus. He came to prepare us to live in a way that influences others. Are you influencing others? I sure am. Every time I go to the grocery store and there's a line back to the Cheerio box, I stomp my feet and throw a tandem, and I walk out of there and say, I'm never going back to that store again. Try witnessing to them people you just walked by. Hey, you know Jesus? No, but I think you should. I think you ought to know him. We forget. We are living epistles, known and read of all men. Your life sometimes might be the only Bible that some people will see and read. So how are you performing? Put your mask on. I don't wear a mask. Oh, I better not go there. Witness to those people that you just told them that you won't wear a mask. Witness to them. Tell them about Jesus. Hello? I'm getting down where the rubber hits the road now. Listen, ain't nobody happy in this epidemic. Nobody's happy. Everybody looks and treats it differently. Would you be loving enough to let them do that? Hello? Would you be loving enough to let them do that? To be different? Do you understand what I'm saying? If you know it makes them angry, why don't you put that dumb thing on? I don't like it any more than you do. I don't want to make people angry. Listen, this is the only Bible some people read. How are they reading yours? How are they reading your Bible? He came to assure us that heaven's is our home. He came to establish the church. I'm almost finished. I only have one more. He came to establish the church. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not empower it. The rock which the church has built is the truth of God's word and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Despite persecution, trials, and sufferings, he has accomplished his mission of building the church that will endure through generations. Even the death of the saints can't destroy it as multitudes continue to be saved. Amen. Hallelujah. And finally, he came to get us ready for his coming. Jesus Christ will return again one day. And in an hour that we do not expect, Matthew 24:42, and that's why we must always, always be ready to meet him. heads bowed, eyes closed. Jesus had a mission. He couldn't be stopped. In 3 short years of ministry, he accomplished all that God had given him to do and prepared his people for both life and death. So the question I have for you, have you received the salvation that Jesus made possible? If not, what is keeping you from trusting in him? If you're saved today, are you living in the benefits that he provided for you? How has his teachings and truths transformed your life? How do they give you assurance and hope in the future and in death? So if you're here today and you can't answer that question, I'm not real sure, Pastor, that if I die tomorrow, I would make heaven my home. If that's you, I want to pray this prayer with you. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my sins. I invite you to come and live in my life from this day forward. And thank you for the Holy Spirit that you give to me to help me to do that. I hope you were able to pray that prayer today if you're not sure. I want and believe that everybody here should be sure of their home in heaven. Now, if you'll stand, we'll be dismissed. Father in heaven, what a pleasure and joy that it has been to be here today with my family. Thank you for the songs we've heard, testimonies that were shared, and most of all, your precious and holy word. Thank you so much for all that you will do, for all that you will accomplish in each of our lives. Lord, give us a wonderful week. Father, give us a safe trip to our homes until we come back again. May we be sharing what you've done in our lives with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Lord bless you.